Welcome to the Film on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:05 British Summer Time. Today is October 27th. Well, the US dollar started out the day a little bit weaker, but finished in positive territory, and actually against the euro was stronger by almost a full cent. Against the Australian dollar by over a cent, and against the Canadian dollar by about 43 ticks. That same pattern was evident in some of the European markets, where they started out in positive territory but finished in negative territory, and the FTSE was probably the weakest of those, down about 1%. The Dow Jones and the S&P both closed down marginally on the day, the Dow down just about 0.4 of 1%, the S&P down about a quarter of 1%, and the Nasdaq finished just in positive territory. Some of the weakest action today was in Asia, with the Hang Seng down about just less than 2%, something similar for the Taiwanese and Singapore markets. Some of the better performing Asian markets, such as Indonesia and the Philippines, were both in negative territory, but not by any great margin. And they continue to look like they have paused in their advance, but there's been a complete absence of downward dynamics which would suggest widespread profit taking. We certainly can't rule that out as a potential if we continue to see the dollar strengthening in here. But to the extent that some of these markets are overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, the risk has increased that we're going to see some form of reaction and consolidation of what have been incredibly powerful gains over the last 10 weeks. Taking a medium-term view, the medium-term bullish outlook remains very much intact. And to the extent that these things pull back and find support in the region of the 200-day moving averages, that's probably going to provide a reasonably good buying opportunity in fuller money themes. But in the short term, some of the better performing markets remain susceptible to a further pullback and consolidation. This inverse correlation that we've had between the dollar and risk assets remains very much in evidence. And the dollar has been so weak over the last 10 weeks that it is oversold. It has plenty of scope to rally and unwind some of that oversold condition, and particularly against currencies where it has been particularly overextended. We're seeing that it's rallying quite impressively against the South African rand, and the rand had been one of the stronger currencies over the last couple of months. US Treasuries were also weak in here today, down by almost a full point. The Eurobund also broke to a new reaction low, so it's down below the September low now. The gilt contract is down to 122.6, down almost a full point as well. We are now seeing that the foregone conclusion that many had priced into the treasury markets over the last couple of months, that we were going to have to, that the US and particularly the US and potentially the UK economy were going to need a massive raft of quantitative easing, is beginning to be reassessed. Growth figures have come in a bit better than expected, particularly in the UK. But also, with the Fed very much looking to dispel the fear of deflation, then higher rates are probably part and parcel of that. So any quantitative easing that is implemented is likely to be on a gradual basis, or is likely to be smaller in total than many have been expecting. And of course, we can't mix up the fact that the Treasury and the Fed have got, well, the Fed in particular has got a very large balance sheet of debt securities, and it will have a constant role on maturing debt coming forward. So even with it reinvesting its role, that is not additional quantitative easing, although I think there will be some people who will assume that that is what it is. That's simply keeping the monetary stimulus in the system. If they were to allow that to expire without rolling it forward, then that would be removing the stimulus. And that really is something to keep an eye out for over the coming years, because the US has expanded the Fed's balance sheet by an incredible margin, and it will have to be contracted at some point. Looking at all of the commonality, I suppose, across all of these sovereign bonds has been really quite remarkable. And US Treasuries had pulled back in a much larger reaction back in September. Then they'd rallied almost right back up to the highs, and now they're pulling back once more. Gilts hadn't rallied nearly as much and have pulled back sharply. The bunds, which I suppose most people had thought that they hadn't, they had the least risk of additional quantitative easing, have been one of the first to break downwards. Australian bonds also have broken to new reaction lows. So now we have a lower high and a lower low for a number of these sovereign markets. US Treasuries aren't quite there yet, but there isn't any great reason to expect that this market is in the process of forming a medium-term top. That the highs that were posted back in August for the US Treasury markets are probably meaningful highs in the medium term. And it could be quite some time before they are taken out once more. Now, the USA has really got a long way to go in terms of its recovery, and a credit crisis-induced recession takes really quite a long time to unwind. But the likelihood of us seeing a massive raft of additional quantitative easing now has decreased considerably, and that is taking demand away from some of these sovereign markets, which really had been a momentum trade for many. The gold price was weaker by about $15 10 ounce, down to $13.25. Silver, having pushed back above $24 briefly today, finished closer to $23.50. So that's looking like an additional pause in these precious metals. Silver, which has probably become the most overextended of the precious metals, is most susceptible to an additional pullback. But provided it holds above the $19 to $20 area, then the medium-term advance will remain reasonably consistent. But in the short term, it remains susceptible to an additional pullback, and particularly if we see additional dollar strength. The U.S. Gold Bugs Index of unhedged gold shares also pulled back really quite sharply last week, and it steadied somewhat in the region of its highs. But it is a bit overstretched in the very short term. It's in an area of historic resistance, and some additional consolidation is probably warranted given the way that it has moved so persistently over the last couple of months. With this additional dollar strength, some of the more overextended industrial metals pulled back fairly sharply in here today, particularly lead and zinc, which have posted the largest downward dynamics in a number of months. So they've become a little bit overextended in the short term, and they are also susceptible to a further consolidation. In the agricultural commodities, they're not essentially being driven by the weak dollar. It's very much a case of the global weather patterns and the damage that's been done to various crops over the last 6 months in particular. So they've all finished out the day in positive territory. And wheat was probably the strongest of them, up about 10 and 3 quarter cents and back above the $7 level for the first time in a while. Corn and soybeans have also held the vast majority of their gains, and they really haven't signaled that while they are a little bit overextended in the short term, that they don't have further to go over the medium term. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.